Let's pray. God, I pray that you will apply your word to our hearts, that you would transform us into the image of Christ, that your love and your goodness would be expressed through us in the world, even as we experience it more fully. Through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. What is it that brings about salvation for us, for you, for me? What is it that today will show us how to live in order to receive the best eternity that we could experience? In this parable that Jesus tells of the rich man and Lazarus, a name that means God has helped, Jesus points us to the answer to those questions. What brings us salvation? What brings us the best eternity that we can have? He, of course, also does much more than that in this parable, not the least of which is emphasizing the value and giving us the imperative of caring for the poor. And that ties into how Jesus shows us where to find the answers regarding salvation and eternity. This week, I happened to see a YouTube video, a few minutes long, that showed a young woman asking a question of a preacher out in the marketplace about what about salvation or damnation for those people who lived before Jesus? Or what about those people that live in areas of the world and they never hear about Jesus? What about them? How can what you're telling me be fair? And he answered it the best that he could, a pretty good answer. But later that day, I was reading from Romans chapter 2 in preparation for Lectio Divina, that's a reading and reflection on scripture that we do here Wednesday evenings. And the Holy Spirit unfolded the answer to her question right there in Romans 2. It was like it was written for that question that she has. And the answer and the wise counsel that are there for her and for us is available in the Word of God if we are willing to read it and to accept it and apply it in our lives, if we are willing to hear it, really. And in the gospel parable today, Jesus emphasizes that the answers for people's salvation are there in the Word. He speaks through Abraham in the parable, and he says to the rich man about his brothers that they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Moses and the prophets representing Scripture, what we call the Old Testament. And he emphasizes the responsibility of people to hear what is given to them in Scripture. Let them hear them, he asserts. In Paul's letter to the Romans, right away in chapter 1, Paul tells us that the gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. He's saying that the Word of God offers to anyone the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, the way to paradise with God. In the parable, Jesus, through Abraham, tells the rich man and that his brothers on earth have Moses and the prophets. They have the Word of God to tell them the way of salvation. And he even says that Moses and the prophets, the word that is given to them, is as meaningful and valuable as if someone were to return from the dead and speak it to them. The Apostle Peter tells us in his second letter, in chapter 1, verse 19, that we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, and that we have it as a lamp shining in a dark place for us to take heed to it. Because what Moses and the prophets wrote, we have it fulfilled in Jesus Christ and revealed even more in the Gospels and in the New Testament itself. They show us the way to salvation. They show us the way to where Lazarus in the parable is at Abraham's side, at the feast in the kingdom of God in paradise. In this world, we so often experience the darkness of it. We experience the fog and the cloudiness of trying to find our way in life. And the scriptures tell us that the Word of God itself is a lamp shining in that darkness to show us the way. If we were to take some key scriptures from the entirety of the letter to Romans, we could lead ourselves or someone else what evangelists have traditionally called the Romans Road, a way through the book of Romans that shows us the gospel message, the way of salvation. After Paul lays a foundation in chapters 1 and 2 of the letter, the first step of that Romans Road is in Romans chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, where Paul writes, "There is no distinction among people, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's a truth, a reality that people need to hear. No matter our background, no matter our place in the world or in life, we have sinned against God's commands. Whether we know them as they're written in the law or whether we know them as they're written on our hearts, we've fallen short of His holiness. The rich man in the parable, like so many people, found this out too late. He was a sinner. And that leads to the second step of that road in Romans. In the first part of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, when Paul writes, "The wages of sin is death." That's another uncomfortable truth revealed in God's scripture. That all of us have sinned, and therefore we all have earned the curses of sin, the worst of which is physical death and spiritual death for eternity. The eternal state of death is revealed in this parable. The rich man, he's in torment. He's in hell, and there's no way out for him. Again, he learned the consequences of his way of life and of his sins too late. His death is severe. His place, separate from the kingdom of God, is eternal. There's no more mercy from God for him. Not even a drop of water. He truly has no prayer left. The suffering that we face in this life, and we all go through trials and sufferings, it's an indication of what the wages of sin are and what eternal suffering might be like. But the wages of sin is not the end in that road of Romans. The next turn in the road leads us to the reality of God's love for every person who has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and deserves death as his or her wages. In Romans 5:8, Paul gives us the good news of God's overcoming love when he writes, "But God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus, the Son of God, perfect in his righteousness, died for us, for you and for me, for our specific sins and our specific wages of death, he died. He became sin for us, our sin, that we might become righteousness and return to a state of rightness with God, now and for eternity. The second part of Romans 6:23 furthers that turn in Romans Road when Paul writes, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Notice that both of these truths, the love of God, the free gift of eternal life, they're not contradicting our sin and the deservement of our death. The good news begins with "but." Yes, it's true you've sinned, but God is greater. And his love and his salvation is greater than your sin and the deserved wages of death. By his love and his sacrifice, Jesus gives us eternal life. And it's represented in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus by Lazarus being with Abraham in the kingdom of God. He is comforted there. He's in paradise and blessed forever. And there it is, the way of salvation. We have the word of God, like in the parable, the rich man's brothers had it. What does it mean for us to hear it? What does it mean for us to apply it? What must we do to be faithful to that command? Let them hear. The Romans Road doesn't end there. If we stop there, we'll fail to reach our destination and the destination that God has for us. There's an action step, a response. Maybe it's a bit of a climb in the road, a step of faith. Paul explains it in the 10th chapter in verses 9 and 10 when he says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's our response, our responsibility to believe, to confess, to call upon the Lord and to receive the riches of his salvation. It might be better said that our responsibility is to keep believing, to keep confessing, to keep calling upon his name, and to keep on receiving the riches of his salvation. Because it is a life of salvation that he gives to us, and not just a moment of being saved. You see, each of us, each one of us, is like the beggar Lazarus in the parable. We're spiritually impoverished. In terms of eternity, we are helpless and desperate. We long for the crumbs that might fall from heaven, from God. Jesus is a rich man. He's the Son of God. He has a feast and glorious riches in his kingdom. But thanks be to God, Jesus is nothing like the rich man in the parable. In fact, he is the opposite. Jesus left his table in the glory of his Father's kingdom. He denied himself the self-indulgence that could have been his there for eternity without suffering, without trials or torment. But he gave it all up to die for each one of us, beggars who long for the bread of heaven. He died of the wounds and the sores that he received in being tortured by the Romans and being nailed to the cross. He entered into the darkened tomb. He did this so that we, the poor sinful beggars, trapped in suffering and in death outside the kingdom, might be comforted and invited and welcomed to enter the gates of that kingdom, not just to eat the crumbs off the floor, but to take an honored seat at the table of the King in God's kingdom. And not just once, but for eternity. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved forever. The way of salvation is through Jesus Christ, the one who came from heaven and entered into death and rose from the dead. The scriptures are the testimony of his salvation and the power of God for salvation. The Old Testament, the New Testament, all of it. Let us hear what God says. There's two more steps in the Romans road that, in light of the parable, and a point that Jesus is making that I want to emphasize. We also have the responsibility that belongs to the rich man in the parable. This is a role we have through Jesus, who has given us the riches of heaven. We're blessed physically, we're blessed spiritually in where we are, in life and eternity and in our relationship with God. But there are those who are impoverished, both physically and spiritually, outside our doors. Some right outside our doors, some across the world. But today, even those outside our doors and across the world seem like they're our neighbors. And Paul addresses both of these responsibilities in Romans. As we receive the good news of Jesus, we have a responsibility to share it with others, even as we live it and experience it. Paul writes in Romans 10, 14 through 15, "How then will they call upon him whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." As Paul has confronted each person with his or her own sin, and the punishment deserved for those sins, and as he has encouraged each and every person with the free gift of salvation offered through Jesus Christ, for him or her particularly, he also gives to each person the responsibility upon receiving that salvation to share the way of salvation. He quotes Isaiah about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news to show us that this is a beautiful work that we have the privilege of doing. sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, even through those simple verses of Romans, just taking someone through that. Each of us are sent to those outside the kingdom to invite them to come in. And finally, that we would fulfill our role also to share the riches that God has given to us. Paul gives us an imperative in Romans 12:12, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And this is what was lacking in the rich man's life. He didn't contribute to the needs of God's people. He didn't show hospitality. But we have an opportunity to do both. The blessings and the hospitalities that we receive from heaven are like a surge that flows to us so that it can flow over us to those around us. Don't wait for a warning sign from God to receive his salvation, to live in it, and to share it with others and to bless others, whomever God leads you to. And God hasn't just given you his word and said, here it is, go do it. He's given you the grace and the presence of his Holy Spirit to empower you, to enable you, to transform you into his child, his daughter, his son, filled with his power, enabled to do what he's called you to do. The answers to life's questions, the way forward about eternity, the warnings, the promises, and so much more about life are in the Word of God. We have it. Let us hear what it says. And maybe God will inspire you to take initiative, both for your own life, your own personal devotional relationship with God. Maybe he'll give you an idea to start something new, a ministry in the church, an outreach to others. He might put it upon your heart to participate in some of the ongoing ministries here and elsewhere. The healing service Tuesday night, maybe to come to be touched by God or to invite someone to come with you. I heard a testimony this week, unsolicited, from a woman who was here last month at the healing service. And that she came in really burdened and heavy. But when she was prayed for, that heaviness just dropped off of her. And she felt light and peace. And it hasn't left her. That's healing. It's not physical healing like we may sometimes associate with healing. But it's the healing of the soul. It's healing of life. And that's what God offers. Maybe you want to reach out to someone but don't know how. You can come with us on Wednesday at the Souls Feeding in Elizabeth City at 5:30, where we feed anyone who comes who's hungry. Maybe there's a Lazarus that God would lead you to invite or just to bless, to take the opportunity to treat someone like the King, like they were Christ for you. Maybe God will put someone in your path that you can lead down the Romans road, the way of salvation. I've put some flyers out by where you pick up the bulletin that's got the good news of Jesus Christ in kind of a road, just like I went through with Romans. And always remember, God is with us to help us do these things. Anytime you might feel guilty or ashamed, forget that and turn to God and ask him for help. He loves you. And he comes into your life to help you. So I want to take just a minute or two to let God speak to you particularly. Just take a moment of quiet prayer before the Lord, and maybe he will apply this to your life. Or maybe you can offer something to him. But let's just take a moment of prayer to respond to what God might be saying to each of us.